Buffy and Frodo were in the Hogwarts library late into the night, prepping for the final trek into Mordor.
Liz, I have to stop you.
Why?
Because this already sounds like the greatest story of all time.
World Stealers!
This is World Stealers!
The show where we take a world that somebody else made, that we have fallen in love with and adapt into all of our brain fantasies, and then we make our brain fantasies into text. I feel like that was a really good version.
Yes.
It's like we have another celebrity cameo coming in.
No.
To talk about what we do here on the show.
Who do we have this time?
Hi, I'm Keanu Reeves.
No way.
Yes, and I'm here to tell you about what World Stealers is about.
Tell us, Keanu.
It's about two women. Two women who come together to pick a fandom, you know, like the Matrix, which is a franchise. And then,
Keanu, are you feeling bad that we haven't done the Matrix yet?
It's coming. I know it's coming because I know everything because I'm Keanu Reeves. Anyway, and then they pick a genre, and then they write an original fan fiction in that genre, and then they read it here for you, and you listen. That is all.
Thank you, Keanu.
That's
really great that you came to give us a synopsis of what our show's about.
Hi, Liz. Welcome back for another week.
Hi, Kate. What's going on?
Oh, you know, we're doing the second half of your story, and
I'm so excited.
So excited. Oh. But I wanted to cover a little bit of, just for everyone out there, this is a little bit of like Harry Potter themed questions.
Yeah.
So we could learn about each other before we get to our fan fiction.
I think that's great.
So, Liz.
Kate.
If you were going to be an animagus, which we should clarify is the ability to turn into like a familiar, right? Like an animal.
Yeah, you have an animal.
Right, Padfoot. Yeah. And they were all animagus.
Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, Prongs. Professor McGonagall. Cat with specs.
Exactly. What would you be?
So that's a really good question.
Okay.
I think I would go with some kind of bird. Like,
okay.
I would love the ability to fly.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with like an eagle maybe.
Oh.
Or like even a raven. I think ravens are cool. They're really smart birds. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter how smart the animal is because it's not really an animal animal. But yeah, I think I would go with a bird of some sort.
Okay.
Is
it something that like channels the inside of you or?
Well, that's the question. I don't know that we're
is
like.
Is it something you want?
Well, I don't know. I think that part of wizarding lore is never quite made explicit in the books. Like, do you decide that you're going to turn into a certain type of animal, or is it just you master the ability of being an animagus and then
the animal just comes to you?
Whatever. Because if it was the animal just coming to me, I don't know.
Yeah, that's two questions. It's what animal do you want to be and what animal do you think you are?
I would want to fucking fly. I would want to be a bird.
So cool. So ravens and like crows, very smart.
Yeah.
And also it's cool to be scary.
Yeah, I could see like being a raven or a crow being like a good blend of like me plus what I would want.
Yeah.
Ooh, but maybe this is a question that's better posed to you. What do you think mine would be? And then I'll tell you what I think yours would be.
Ooh, okay. God, now that you've said it, I'm definitely leaning towards like a bird, but I don't know if you're as dark as a crow or a raven. Mm-hmm. So maybe even more like a falcon, not a hawk. It's too big, like a small, smart falcon.
Small and mean.
Yeah. falcons are loyal. You know, sometimes falconeers have, you know, yeah, I could see that.
Okay,
but you're
it.
Still like, you'll eat mice and shit. Like you're still, you're not afraid to like
Dude,
get your
I'll fucking
talons
eat it.
Dirty. You know?
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, for years, what would you want to turn into if you could just...
A hippo.
Go on.
Okay. I love the water. Mm-hmm. I'm a big water person. Grew up on the beach. I'd want to be in the water most of my life if possible. But I still like being land capable.
Mm-hmm.
I like to eat a lot. They eat all day. I'm really into that. They're also like very pushy and bossy and kind of mean. Like they dominate their river and they're like, don't fuck around. And they're very like... Like if you were to roll up to them on your boat, they might destroy your boat. And I like that idea because I'm a small little person and it would be so cool for me. I feel like my personality is very big and I want to push people around with my personality. But what if I was a hippo and I could just legit push people around?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So hippos are very like being charged by a hippo, right? Isn't
it super dangerous?
More people die of that than of shark attacks every year or something.
Respect,
there's some statistic like that.
Respect to hippo,
respect
man.
Respect to hippo, man.
And they also just look cool, you know?
Yeah.
They do a lot of cool things. I would love to be a hippo. It's not very practical for like, you know, getting around or solving mysteries, but if you want, you can be a bird on my back.
Yeah. Great.
Falcon I'm hanging in. Out on a hippo back. What do you think I would be?
I mean, I like hippo for you a lot.
Cool, cool. Thanks.
I would also say, and I don't mean this to be, I don't mean to denigrate you in any way, but I would say like some sort of dog.
Oh, I know. I am very like dog-like.
Just personality wise, like I could see like a retriever or a lab. You still get like the swimming in. But also because like dogs are loyal and mm-hmm. if you fuck around with their people, they're mean as fuck.
That's true. I can be very feisty when it comes to not being a nice person.
Yeah. Dogs mm-hmm. will mess with your shit.
They'll bite you.
Yeah.
But I'll also slobber on you and jump on you.
Yeah. Maybe even like a, I don't know, taking aside the swimming, like maybe even like a pit bull.
Ooh, I would love to be a pit bull.
Because they're super friendly, chill dogs, like, but really loyal and you don't mess with a pit bull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. We would make great wizards.
We would. What happened there?
What? I don't know. We missed our letter. I have a theory that my mom hid it.
Mm.
You know?
I could see my parents were actually very explicit in that. They don't like boarding schools. They think it's like sending your children away to be essentially raised by other children.
Yeah.
So I think my parents kept me away from Ilvermorny.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Very upset with them.
I think the same thing for me,
Sue,
really.
Tim, I know what you did.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Ron,
you're okay.
The dog, where is it?
Hurry, it's a trap. He's a dog. He's an animagus.
This week's fan fiction is the second half of Liz's story for our Harry Potter finale extravaganza. The first half of Liz's fan fiction is in episode 9, the one before this. So if you haven't listened to it, go back and learn all of the things about Ilvermorny, the American wizarding school that Draco transfers to in this story. And y'all, we need to talk about Draco. After the Battle of Hogwarts, Draco's permanent record is not looking so good. He became a Death Eater, and his loyalty to his family put him on the wrong side of the Wizarding War. He helped Voldemort a lot, granted, in exchange for the release of his father, Lucius, but he was also integral in the death of Dumbledore. Draco disarmed Dumbledore so that Voldemort could cast the Killing Curse, but funny enough, this was also the reason that Harry was able to control the Elder Wand later over the Dark Lord. Needless to say, Draco's childhood was hella complicated, and he was never really able to shake off the bigotry of his background or the guilt of the things that he'd done. Shout out to JK for making even her evil characters deep and reminding us that people raised to hate are capable of terrible things. But they're also capable of change if they just allow themselves to learn from it. Okay, so let's get into the second half of this story.
Here we go.
So excited. Okay.
All right.
Where do we leave off? Can we get like a recap of the last
one? Yeah. So we left off. So it's still, school hasn't officially started yet. This is all, the first half of the story took place the day and night before school. So Draco has come to Ilvermorny to do sort of a repeat of his final year. He didn't, you know, quite finish that final year.
Yeah.
Never came back from spring break. You know, he's being shown around by Eloise Bragg, Ellie, who is, you know, a sort of a dorky, nerdy, like student council-y.
But like bouncy, confident. Yeah.
The type of person, and I think this is like the type of person that I was in high school, who like, who likes teachers and who teachers like, who's like comfortable enough giving teachers a little bit of shit, but like you would choose to represent the school. Like she's going to be a good, friendly, like school outreach type of person. So they sort of, she now knows about Draco's past. He has admitted this to her, which, you know, big step for him.
We had a reveal of a new Scottish professor.
A new teacher, Professor Trimble. I made her Scottish for a couple of reasons, but also just to like keep the accents distinct or to keep the character voices distinct.
Yeah, good idea.
Part of my motivation there. So we're about to start school. The school year is about to start.
Cool.
Draco and Ellie have bonded a little bit. They're sort of friendly. They played a little Quidditch together, and here we go. We're about to start.
I'm ready.
Okay. The year began as it always did. Students flooded the school. The new ones were sorted. Classes started up again. Everyone put off their studies to spend time outside while the weather was still warm. Draco made the Thunderbird Quidditch team and found himself, if not surrounded by friends, at least with a few teammates he could reliably eat lunch with. He saw Ellie in classes and at practices, but they found themselves so busy with schoolwork that they didn't have all that much time to talk. Even so, Draco found it comforting that one person besides Professor Breckenridge knew his secret and didn't seem to hate him for it. Day to day, Draco found himself getting along at Ilvermorny just fine. Yet night after night, he found himself waking up in a cold sweat, having dreamt he was back at the Astronomy Tower with a weak, sick Dumbledore, or around the long table at Malfoy Manor as Charity Burbage twirled helplessly in the air, or in the drawing room under the great glass chandelier watching Hermione Granger scream. Only in his dreams, it was he who cast the killing curses, who laughed with delight as he shrieked, "Crucio!" Even after he awoke, tangled in his sheets, the thought stayed with him. It might as well have been you. It was your fault anyway.
The beginning of this story is so J.K. Rowling.
Thank you.
The whole the way she moves through time, the way she has like months of school pass, but you kind of understand what's going on anyway. And also like incorporating dreams.
I feel like dreams are very JK. Yeah.
Holy shit. Like this could have. Yeah.
Very JK. And also like kind of true, I think, to the way that people deal with trauma sometimes when they're not really dealing with their trauma.
Yeah. This feels like it was. I mean, this is better than The Cursed Child. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. This is a better fan fiction than
that. Thank you. The bar is low because obviously that is terrible. Terrible play. Oh,
this is great.
But thank you. That is really amazing to hear.
You're welcome. Okay. Please continue.
One night, after a particularly vivid nightmare, he lay in bed, wide awake. Finally, giving up on the possibility of sleep, he made his way out to the common room, hoping a change of scenery would soothe him. To his surprise, Ellie was there as well, chin in her hands, frowning into the fire. She looked up as she heard him enter. Hey.
Hey, can't sleep?
No. You? Gotta plan a fundraiser for prom. Do you think people would buy T-Birds jackets in Thunderbird? Like from Greece?
What?
Never mind, you're the wrong person to ask. What's up with you? You look kind of terrible. No offense.
Nightmare.
Oh. More stuff?
Yeah.
They sat in silence for a moment, staring at the fire. Do you want some tea or something?
Nah, thanks. Professor Trimble has been asking me to stay for tea with her after every class. I didn't know it was possible, but I think I'm sick of tea.
Score one for truth, justice, and the American way. Ellie paused, looking hard at Draco's drawn white face. Well, do you want to talk about it? The dreams, I mean? Not Trimble's weird crush on you. Draco smiled. I think she just wants news from England. She seems lonely. He hesitated, then went on. I saw some terrible things. And did some. And ever since I got here, I can't get them out of my head. I hear their voices, and I see them in my dreams. It doesn't help that Trimble keeps asking about the battle. If I was there, who I knew, what I saw.
Have you told her?
About this? Draco touched his arm. No. I'm a pretty good liar. Something I used to be very proud of.
Have you spoken to anyone?
Besides you?
Yeah, like a professional, maybe?
Draco shook his head, not meeting her eyes. I'm afraid they'll tell me I actually am crazy. When I say I'm hearing voices, I don't mean memories. I mean actually hearing voices. Do you think I'm going insane?
I think trauma can do some weird shit to your brain. And I think you should talk to someone. But I don't think you're insane.
Thanks.
Okay, I don't want to bypass the amazing reference between the T-Birds and the Thunderbirds.
Thank you.
I just want to go back to that. The prom planning, amazing. So good. Of course, that would be their prom theme.
Fun fact, also, Ilver Morty does have a prom. That is, as far as I can tell.
I love it. But I really like the scene because I think it's really... It's setting up some good stuff.
Thank you.
You got solid character development with the way that Ellie is always like one for the Americans and how British are so weird. And also like, what is going on with Professor Trimble? And then also totally believable that Draco would be feeling this way. And that he's hearing voices, like how Potter-esque.
I know. I love a good nightmare / voice hearing, you know?
Oh, I love it. Okay. What happens?
All right.
I'm yelling. I'm sorry.
I think trauma can do some weird shit to your brain. And I think you should talk to someone. But I don't think you're insane.
Thanks.
They lapsed back into silence. Finally, Draco stood up.
I should head back to bed. Thanks for not thinking I'm crazy.
Anytime. And dude, maybe no more tea with Trimble for a while. Dragging up all those memories, it can't be helping. Draco smiled vaguely.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The weeks wore on, and every time Ellie saw Draco, he looked worse. Dark circles bloomed under his eyes, and he seemed to have lost weight. He started missing practices, then classes. Finally, Ellie went to Professor Breckenridge. The door to his office, as was his usual custom, was wide open, and he smiled as Ellie walked in and gestured to the comfortable armchair across from his desk. Breckenridge was the rare administrator who truly enjoyed his students, and Ellie had been in his office many times. She settled herself in and took the ginger nude he offered. He took one himself and settled back into his own chair. Eloise, what's on your mind? I loved your idea for the fundraiser. T-bird jackets. Hilarious. They'll sell like iced pumpkin juice on a hot day.
I love Professor Breckenridge. He is just one. He's just joyous and wonderful. I love
him. He was fun to write. I just really like him.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Professor. But actually, I'm here to talk about Draco Malfoy. You asked me to keep an eye on him, and he seems, like, not good.
Go on.
Professor Breckenridge looked suddenly serious. He's losing weight and missing class. He told me about his involvement. That's some pretty heavy shit.
Eloise, sorry, stuff.
And, Professor, between you and me, he told me he was having nightmares. And I wouldn't break his confidence normally, but he seems to be getting worse, and I've tried to grab him after Quidditch practice, but I think he's avoiding me.
Indeed. Perhaps it's time I spoke with him myself. Don't worry, I won't betray my source, but it sounds like the time has come to get some outside help.
Ellie felt a wave of relief. Thanks, Professor.
Of course. Thank you for coming to me.
Ellie stood up to head out the door, then stopped, remembering something. Oh, Professor?
Hmm?
How much do the teachers know about his involvement?
As far as I know, nothing. It's common knowledge that his parents were on the wrong side, but it wasn't widely publicized that he himself was the Death Eater. I thought perhaps it might bias the teachers against him, so I kept it to myself. Professor Trimble might know more than the others, being a Brit herself, though she's been in the States since she married an American about 15 years ago. Why do you ask?
No reason, just curious.
I am also very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. What's happening to Draco?
Oh.
Just wait. What is Professor Trimble doing to him? Is that the twist?
I mean, just...
Okay, I'm sorry. I have to wait. I know. I'm just so excited. Okay, this is very good. I know that you talked down about how you didn't write a good mystery, but this is very mysterious and I want to know.
Thank you.
Okay.
That night, the Dark Mark appeared above Thunderbird Tower.
What? What?
The Pukwudgie Quidditch team noticed it first as they headed back to the castle after a late practice. They were more curious than fearful, many never having seen it before. However, as word reached the teachers, the level of panic in the castle rose. Students were confined to their common rooms with the exception of the Thunderbirds, who were sent to the Great Hall. Once all students were accounted for, they were told to stay put while the teachers figured out what to do. Ellie found Draco lurking at the edge of the hall, looking terrified.
It wasn't me, he burst out as soon as he saw her. I swear it wasn't me.
Okay, she said quietly, looking around and leading him away from a gaggle of curious third years. I believe you.
I think it was for me, though. A warning or something. I should have known I couldn't get away. I should have known he'd follow me here.
Who?
You know who. Him.
Voldemort?
Shh.
Draco glanced wildly around, as if expecting the Dark Lord to walk into the brightly lit hall.
Draco, he's dead. Is he? He wasn't last time.
Well, this time he is. How do you know? Everyone knows. Look, I think you should talk to Professor Breckenridge.
I can't. I'm sure he thinks it's me.
He doesn't. I talked to him the other day and...
You talked to him? About me? About what I told you?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I was worried and I trusted you.
I know, and I'm sorry, but Draco, if there's something you should know about...
I don't want to hear it. I never should have trusted a mudblood.
Draco, back to your old ways, Draco.
And before she could say another word, he was out the door, running down the corridor and out of sight. Ellie watched him go, momentarily stunned. Then, glancing around to be sure she wasn't watched, she hurried after him. Draco pounded down the hallway and away from the sound of voices. He wasn't sure where he was going, but he knew he couldn't trust anyone. He had to get away.
Draco!
Professor Trimble's voice came out of the darkness. She stepped into his path, lighting her wand as she did so. Draco skidded to a halt, nearly knocking her over.
Sorry, Professor.
Draco, are you all right? Where are you going?
Nowhere. I just... Nowhere.
You should be in the dining hall with the rest of your house.
I know. I just... I had to get away. She smiled up at him. Well, of course you did. This must be so much more frightening for you than for the others. Come along, my office is close. Let me make you a cup of tea. Draco, with no more strength left to refuse, let himself be led down the hall. Trimble's office was spare and tidy, much like she was. Not a single personal item or muggle artifact cluttered the room. Draco sat in what had become his usual chair as she put the kettle on the fire and took two mugs out of her desk drawer, dropping a tea bag into each. As the water boiled, she sat facing Draco, smiling. It must have been quite a shock to see the dark mark here tonight. Draco nodded, swallowing. He didn't trust himself to speak, not sure he could keep the panic out of his voice. The kettle began to boil, and she took it off the fire.
Such an effective way of causing terror. I can see why you know who chose it.
She spoke softly, pouring hot water into the mugs and handing one to Draco.
Tell me, Draco, did you ever cast it yourself?
Draco's eyes widened in surprise, even as he took the mug from her small, bony hand. What?
I asked if you'd ever conjured the dark mark yourself after a kill. Oh, come now, Draco. You don't expect me to believe that you spent nearly 2 years as a Death Eater and never once killed, do you? I know you couldn't quite get the job done with Albus Dumbledore, but surely there were others.
What the fuck?
No, I never... I swear, I never... What about her, Draco? Did you kill her? Was it you that cast the final curse? Or did you just stand by and watch her die? Who? What are you talking about? Who? How dare you ask who? Charity Burbage, that's who!
Draco gasped sharply. Her face. He knew she had looked familiar. It wasn't quite the same, a little less round, a bit sharper featured, but still. He could see her in his mind's eye, head lolling as she floated above the table, sobbing, helpless.
You're her. Her sister, yes. Prudence Trimble, nay, Burbage. Imagine how pleased I was to hear you'd chosen Ilvermorny to finish your schooling. At Hogwarts, you'd have been protected. But of course you wanted to start over. Couldn't face what you'd done. And so you fell right into my lap.
She paused and leveled her wand at him. He sat absolutely still.
It's funny. Even at a school as egalitarian as Ilvermorny professes to be, no one really pays attention to the Muggle Studies teacher. What other class could I have gotten away with doing nothing but playing Golden Age musicals and jazz?
She laughed to herself.
Now, my real talent, Draco, is potions. You've been drinking tea with me all these months and never noticed that the dreams would get worse right after, and the voices would be just a little bit louder.
Draco looked down in horror at his mug.
I thought for a while I might just drive you insane, but you've proven surprisingly resilient. Or perhaps you just don't care enough to go mad. Either way, I've grown bored. It's time to finish you off. So, as they say in every American movie, any last words?
Whoa! Whoa, the twist is so good!
Thanks!
Okay, all right. Just, I have so much epilogue to this. Let's, like, go.
Okay.
Draco looked at her. Her eyes were wide, full of pain and rage and hatred. He saw Charity Burbage once more, saw her die, saw Nagini slither towards her lifeless body. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't kill her, but I saw her die. I should have stopped him. I was scared. I'm sorry. Trimble paused. Her wand lowered slightly, and she shook her head and a mad grin crept back across her face.
I don't believe you, little boy. But it doesn't matter anyway. Avada Expelliarmus!
Ellie stood in the doorway, eyes blazing and wand raised.
Lady hero.
Always.
I love it.
Ellie stood in the doorway, eyes blazing, wand raised. She caught Trimble's wand as it flew through the air. With a wordless shriek, Trimble leapt at her, but Draco, now on his feet, drew his wand and yelled, "Perfectus Totalus!" Trimble fell to the ground, stiff as a board, eyes wide and glaring. Ellie and Draco looked at one another, panting.
"How did you know?"
"I looked her up. Old newspaper archives of her wedding announcement. After I spoke with Breckenridge, I just wanted to see who she was before she married and moved here. Found her maiden name, but couldn't figure out why it sounded so familiar until I saw the mark. Then I remembered what you said about Charity Burbage from your dreams.
Finally, looking away, Draco managed, "Thanks." "Oh, sure," Ellie responded, putting on a casual tone. "Well, couldn't let her kill our seeker. Now, maybe we go get a teacher?" "Yeah."
Something that never happened in the Harry Potter books.
I know, which always
should
drove me
should we go get a teacher for
nuts.
This?
I was like, we should get
like
an adult. Where are the adults at Hogwarts?
I love it.
Ellie and Draco stood at the front gate. Draco, surrounded by his trunks, looked thin and tired, but his face was peaceful. "So, you're sure you don't want to finish out the year?" "Yeah." Trimble was nuts, but she was right. Running away to the States isn't going to make anything better. I need to face up to some stuff back home. "How are the nightmares?" "Better. Back to normal nightmares. The kind I was having without any help." "Well, that's good, I guess." "Yeah. Hey, Ellie? I'm sorry I called you a mudblood. I didn't mean it." "Oh, yeah, I know. It's okay. I owe you a punch in the face, though, so I'll collect on that at some point." Draco smiled. "That seems fair. Anyway, you should get going before my mother gets here." "Are you ashamed of me?" "No, I'm not. It's just my family is complicated." "It's okay, I'm joking. I should get to the pitch anyway. We're trying out your replacement." "Right. Sorry." "It's okay. I understand. The rest of the team hates you, but I understand." Draco smiled. "Right. Well, yeah." He held out his hand. Ellie grinned and rolled her eyes. Purebloods. She hugged him as he stood unmoving, shocked. Then she turned quickly away and jogged up the hill toward the Quidditch pitch. He watched her until she faded, then turned back around, facing the forest and the village below. It was time to go home.
Oh, it's so complete. What a complete story.
Thank you. I wish I had had more
satisfying
time.
And also just, no, you don't need more time. It's beautiful just the way it is. I can't wait.
It is gonna
shoot up the fan fiction charts. I don't know how you do that.
I don't know what those charts are, but it's happening.
Oh, this was so good. It was such a good homage to J.K. Rowling's writing. It was such a good way to handle these characters. It was a really fun mystery. I think it stands alone. This is one of my favorite stories I've read of yours yet.
Thank you.
This was really
my favorite one to write, for
this
sure.
This is really, really good.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't want to like too much whitewash Draco and mm-hmm. what he did and make it seem like he'd done this, but he does do a pretty...
I love It's Not a Romance.
Big River.
I love the total like make sense roundabout like background of Professor Trimble. Man, you really sealed this one up.
Well, it was interesting. The one moment that I like that really stuck out to me from Cursed Child is Draco and Harry having a discussion about how jealous he had been of Harry and Ron and Hermione's friendship. And I don't know. I just like when I thought about that character, the thing that I think like would have made a difference is really having friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, God, I think that's totally the purpose of those books.
Yeah. And I was just like, I just want to give him a friend.
Oh, God, you're so nice.
I just want to have a friend.
Oh, I love this.
And
this
I like that the friend was a mudblood and...
Yeah, an American.
And didn't take it. I also think that like people like that need someone to not take them seriously. And
yeah.
So, anyway.
This was amazing.
Was so much fun.
You did such a good job. I'm so happy. I hope you get famous off Harry Potter fan fiction the way that E.L. James has gotten famous off Twilight fan fiction. Except
yours
will be better.
Wonderful.
Well,
yours
will be significant.
Obviously, everything either of us writes will always be better than Twilight, even if it's trash.
Fair.
Sorry, Twilight heads, but those books are bad. They're objectively bad.
They're really bad. It's okay, though. Don't we understand.
I mean, you know what? Actually, you know what? At me on Twitter. I'll have a discussion with you about it. We'll talk about objectively why those books are bad.
Okay. While you're yelling at Liz on Twitter, also, maybe you could rate and subscribe to us.
Please
you know
do.
If you hate us because we hate Twilight, go ahead and give us one star. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Do it. Just give us one star and be like, these bitches hate Twilight. And we'll be like,
dare you.
Come at us, bro.
Come at us. What else? If you want to follow us and, I don't know, yell at us about Twilight on Instagram, we are at World Stealers.
We are.
Exactly how it's spelled in the English language.
Yes. The only language we know well enough to
write
make an Instagram handle out of it.
And if you want to get in contact with us, you can check out our network page, morebanana.com. So this is our final episode, guys.
Yeah. Oh, we'll miss you.
End of season one.
But know that season two is just around the corner.
It's coming. It's coming along.
It is coming like an oncoming storm. Which reminds me, at some point, we've got to do Doctor Who fanfic.
Oh, God.